Well, that one felt like a real waste of time tonight for the Vancouver Canucks, getting thrashed by the New Jersey Devils 7-2 in New Jersey. Man, after a few really good, fun games from the Vancouver Canucks, I'm talking about games where they scored a few goals, right? They take down the Rangers 5-2 yesterday, 7-1 over the Flames, 5-2 over the Kraken. They've been having some exciting hockey games lately. Tonight was not one of them. Tonight they were absolutely just not there to play. They were clearly tired from the previous night, and they didn't show up. It didn't help that their goaltender once again completely hung them out to dry, had no support from the back end, but not like the defense was doing all that much either, and the Canucks only get two goals on the board anyways. So it doesn't matter if they score three or if they score seven, the Canucks still lose that game. As always, we'll break this one down. I'll go over my thoughts, which are mostly bad, your thoughts, which are probably mostly bad, and then we'll reconvene at 10 o'clock for Canucks After Dark. Sound good? Sound good. All right, let's break it down. Let me pull up my my notes, my good old notes. All right. Yaro Halak in net for the Canucks, hitting his 10th start of the season, hitting that beautiful $1.25 million bonus. Now, he's against Nico Daws, who is a 21-year-old goaltender who has been absolutely fine as a rookie for the Devils, hasn't played a ton of games, but has played a few, and he was the better goalie tonight. So, first period, Canucks, a huge mistake early, and it's Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He gets into the offensive zone, and he tries to get a little bit too fancy. He does a little spinorama pass instead of just playing the puck in deep, and as a defenseman, you make that pass, and it's a two-on-one the other way. Because he goes right to the opponent, and you're not there anymore, so they just skate up two on one. Nice shot by Jack Hughes, pulls it. Tyler Myers defended it fine. His job is to defend the pass there. It's a shot. It beats Halak pretty cleanly. His 16th of the year to make it 1-0. Hoglander has the Canucks' best chance of the period. He gets robbed by Daws on the side of the net there, and then the Devils make it 2-0. Tyler Myers, a terrible pass, plays it up the wall. He had a bit of time, just threw it up the wall, not hard, not off the glass, just passed it along the ice right to the Devils. They set up a little tic-tac-toe, and it's Yegor Sharangovich who gets on the board there. And then Luke Shen takes a dumb penalty in his own zone, running a guy over in the crease, or just outside of the crease, who wasn't a part of the play. That's interference. He goes to the box. The defense completely collapses on this power or on the penalty kill, and they make it 3-0. This time it's Dawson Mercer, who's left alone for a tap in. No real chance for Halak there, although he looked really shaky leading up to that goal. So they make it 3-0, and that's how we go into the second intermission, or the first intermission. But again, the Devils had two more great chances. Jimmy Vesey almost scored a solid save from Halak there, and it was Jimmy Vesey, so I think anyone else probably scores that. And he sure rings one off the post very late in the period. So an ugly first period overall. And you can look at the shot counter, you can say, oh, the shots were, I think, like 13-9 in favor of Vancouver. But that doesn't tell the whole story, because you look at high danger chances, which is something I like to look at. They were 4-2. They were credited as in favor of the Devils. So Canucks 13 shots, only two high danger chances in the first period. And it really felt that way. It felt like they had no real danger coming from them. It felt like every time New Jersey was in the Canucks zone, it felt dangerous. We go to the second period and the Canucks do get on the board. Travis Hamonic fires it down low, gets tipped by Horvat and then Podkolzin. Nice goal for Podkolzin, his 9th of the year. So it's 3-1. Canucks maybe trying to claw their way back into this one, and then they score again. This time Quinn Hughes gets beat by Boqvist. Halak plays it poorly. He doesn't go for the poke check. He doesn't have his pad on the post. It was weak play from Halak, and it's 4-1 New Jersey. And then 2 minutes later, Ryan Graves, his point shot goes off of Shen's leg, then the post. And in that one, genuinely no chance for Halak. Unfortunate, goes off of Shen, then the post. Unfortunate 5-1. And then a minute after that, Jesper Bratt scores a pretty inconspicuous shot from the faceoff circle, one that most goalies should save, one that I think if you gave me 10 tries at it, I'd probably save it a few times. And it is 6-1, 6 minutes into the second period. So Halak gets the pull. I'm going to talk about this closer to the end, but I don't like that he got pulled. Let's keep going. Tanner Pearson gets on the board about 2 minutes after that. He gets a shot through Daws to make it 6-2. JT Miller continues his point streak. He gets his 40th assist of the year on that one. Second assist, which is nice. And then the third period, Dougie Hamilton scores, jumping on the rush to make it 7-2. And that is the final score in New Jersey. So not great. As always, I give my pluses and my minuses. I don't have a lot of pluses. Honestly, one of my pluses is that the Canucks played okay. I don't think they were absolutely atrocious tonight, as the score would suggest. I don't think they played great. I think they played a very mediocre game, coupled with the fact that they were off of a back-to-back, and I think they genuinely played fine, especially up front. They only scored two goals, but again, they probably weren't trying that hard when they were down 6-1, but they played okay. They got 38 shots on goal, which is nice, I guess. Again, the shots in this game, 38-33 in favor of Vancouver, high danger chances, 16-7 in favor of New Jersey. So the Devils had less shots, but they had 2.5 times the high danger chances in this game, which is the real story. You know, expected goals were 3.5-3 in favor of New Jersey. And the Canucks genuinely got outplayed, but again, I don't think they played terribly. As for the minuses, because that was the only bright spot. Also, Tanner Pearson gets another point, another goal. That's good, I guess. Sweet. On the minuses, the big one is goaltending, right? So Yaroslav Halak has now played in his last three starts. He has a .649 save percentage. In his last two starts, he has faced 26 shots and he has allowed 11 goals. That's like a .577, I think I mathed it out to be, save percentage in his last two games. And these are the games that hit him that cash bonus. He's been bad. And we can look at individual goals and be like, it's not really, you know, some of those, you're not, you didn't save it, whatever. Like the one that, who scored that? Graves? That one off Shen's legging in? Yeah, but you got to make saves at some point, right? Sure, all of them you can see goalies letting in, but man, you gotta make some saves. And I think the Canucks are really feeling that in front of them. I know, again, I play at a very low level, right? I play beer league, but if you have a goalie who's not playing well, you don't have a lot of confidence going into a game, right? If you have a goalie who you called up 30 minutes before game time because you were desperate for a goalie, and you have a guy who's saying, I haven't played in 6 months, but I'll play for you, the team in front of him doesn't play very well because they don't have confidence. They're like, we're kind of screwed anyways, and you start trying to play a different style of hockey because you are scared your goalie is going to allow more goals, whether that means you make more mistakes because you're trying to play a different style or you're trying to play more defensive and it backfires, and it can get in the players' heads. And I think that might be a part of it because I think they played better when Demko was in net. And I think he's a real stabilizing force back there. According to Natural Stat Trick, Halak, the expected goals, I think were 1.5 in for the New Jersey Devils by the time that Halak got pulled. So he allowed 4.5 more goals than expected in this game, which is atrocious. And the worst part about it is that Thatcher Demko didn't even get the game off. I don't know how many shots he actually faced. He faced 15 shots. He faced 19 shots. So he faced more shots than Halak. He stopped 18 of 19 for a .947 save percentage tonight. So Demko was fantastic. Right? That's the crazy thing here. Demko comes in on a back-to-back. We know he can play back-to-backs. I mean, he showed it here. And we talked last night. It was asked, you know, should this be a game where Thatcher Demko comes in anyways and starts the back-to-back? And my initial thought was, no, you just go with the backup. You got to play him eventually anyways. And then I thought about it a bit. And I said, well, the Canucks have 2 days off after this. And they have a couple days off after two more games. This is if you're ever going to play a goalie in back-to-back games, this is the time to do it, right? Team's hot. Demko's hot. They're playing really well. They're scoring a lot of goals and there's actually rest coming up. And again, Demko can't play 70 games this year. But if there's ever a game where you're going to run him, this is probably the one. But they go the other direction, which again, understandable decision. And I think it's the easy decision to make. I think it's the easy way out, right? I'm not saying it's like cowardly, but for a coach, he didn't have to think about it, right? If he had put Demko in and Demko, God forbid, got hurt, or Demko laid an egg, or Demko looked tired out there, he would be very easy to criticize. But he put the backup in a back-to-back game. There's nothing to really criticize there. I think it's the easy decision to make, and it's the no-risk decision when it comes to catching flack. Now, again, I don't think this is a decision that Bruce Boudreau made on his own. I think that he has said in the past that any goaltending decision, he just lets Ian Clark make the call. And in that case, you know, I'm not going to give too much heat to Boudreau on that because I am sure Ian Clark was involved in it. I just think it was the wrong decision. I also think pulling Halak might have been the wrong decision as well. He allowed 6 goals in the first half of the game, right? That's bad. And if you leave him in there, this game might have been 10-2, might have been 11-2. And for things like that, I think, okay, morale is important. You don't want to get beat 12-2. You don't want a Patrick Waugh situation from Halak, although what are you going to do? Like, what's Halak going to ask for you to trade him? Okay, right? So I get why they put Demko in, but if your goal for not playing Demko was rest, he didn't get it, right? He faced 19 shots tonight, a few of which high danger, and he let in 1 goal. But so it was sort of a lose-lose all around, right? The Canucks had their bad goalie, their worst goalie, and I can say bad now because his season as a whole, it is now in the bad territory. It was pretty bad to start, and then it got to pretty decent, and then it fell off a cliff, and it is now bad. It was a lose-lose-lose. You have to pay Halak that bonus now. Demko didn't get rest, and the team got shelled 7-2. Every single thing was a negative around the goaltending decision tonight. A fun question would be, is this the last we've seen of Yaro Halak in a Canucks uniform? I might venture yes. If I was calling the shots, and I know I'm not, I don't think I put Halak out there again, because I don't think the team can afford to, unless we're getting down and the Canucks are well out of the playoffs, which again, they have been, and they are falling, they might fall that way again, who knows. But if they, let's say they lose 8 of their next 10 games, then sure, you can start putting Halak in. But I think if you're trying to win games, Halak has shown that he's not going to be that option for you. He has shown you that on his worst night, he's a .571 save percentage goaltender, allowing 6 goals on 14 shots. And on his best night, he's decent, right? Like he's fine on his best night, but he doesn't have those very often. So when you're making the decision between running Thatcher Demko an extra night or calling up a 26-year-old goalie in Spencer Martin, who has shown flashes of brilliance this year, both in the NHL and in the AHL, I think the decision's easy. And I think it doesn't involve Yaroslav Halak. That's enough about goaltending. Let's talk about the defense. The defense was bad too. We have Oliver Ekman-Larsson with a terrible giveaway that leads to the first goal of the game. That bad spinorama. It's a bad play. And again, they're on a back-to-back. Sure, decision-making might not be great, but it's a play you can't make. Their next goal, it's Tyler Myers with a terrible giveaway that leads to a goal. The next goal, it's Luke Schenn taking a bad penalty. One of the goals, Boqvist's goal, which was their fourth goal. Quinn Hughes got beat. So there are the first 4 goals this game, and I mean the last two, I'm not as critical on, or the last 3 even. The first 4 goals this game were all directly attributable to a defenseman, and they were all different defensemen at different times in this game. Whether it was OEL, Myers, Schenn, or Hughes, all of them made mistakes that led to goals tonight. As for the other two defensemen, Travis Hamonic and Brad Hunt, both of them were +1s in a 7-2 loss. So to that, I give a shout out to Travis Hamonic and Brad Hunt. They are my players of the game for the Vancouver Canucks because they were the only defensemen who didn't play bad tonight. Quinn Hughes and Luke Schenn were -2s each. OEL and Tyler Myers were each a -3 and didn't play great. Another minus, Elias Pettersson's point streak comes to an end. Not that surprising in this game, but I'm not going to be too critical on Elias Pettersson. He was a -2. Hoglander was a -3. The forwards didn't really stand out to me in too much of a negative light because I think so many of these goals by the Devils were directly attributable to defensive mistakes and bad goaltending. So I'm not going to be too critical on certain forwards for being out there for a few goals against, because I don't know what they could have done to prevent them. Other than that, Canucks play again on Thursday. There will not be a post game that night from me. I am too busy. I have a flight to catch the following morning at 6 a.m., so I will not be available for that. But let's get to your thoughts, your questions for those of you who are in here. And I appreciate you guys who are in there, because I wouldn't be if I wasn't making these. So let's go to your thoughts. And keep in mind, Canucks After Dark tonight, going to be way more upbeat. 10 p.m. I say that, I'm almost falling asleep, and it's 7:30. But 2.5 hours from now, I'm going to have a coffee and I'm going to have energy, and we're going to go for an hour talking about the gooder games and some other stuff. So let's go over your thoughts, your takes on this game. Debut Hunter saying, is there a single game where the Canucks outplay the opposition when Halak is in net? We either don't score or don't defend or both. Yes, it would be nice if he made some saves, but he is not Demko. Normally, I say the same thing on that last part. It would be nice if he made some saves, not Demko. He's also not a Zamboni driver, right? Like, he should be better than he is. And again, we were looking at a guy who, like, I think we're now looking at a guy, instead of being like, oh, maybe you'll be able to toss him to a playoff team if he weighs his NMC as a backup goalie, get like a late round pick, whatever. I don't know if Halak even ever plays in the NHL again after this. I genuinely think this fall from grace has been so dramatic that if you're a team next year looking for a backup goalie, why would you run to the Halak well? I think you can try to find some other options, even if it's your AHL starter, than Halak. Have the Canucks outplayed the opponent in any of Halak's games? I'm sure they have. I think that Columbus one is one of them, where they allowed Halak allowed three bad goals and they came back and won. But yeah, not very often. Not very often. Flaming Storm saying, nothing much to say other than Halak cost of the game. Defense wasn't great, but they're all savable. And yeah, I think most of those goals fall on both, right? The defense made a bad mistake and they could have been saved. I think the Jack Hughes goal was a really good goal, and I think that goes in on a lot of goalies. That shot was perfectly placed. It was about 20 inches off the ice, and it was on the Glover blocker side, which is the best. I think it was glove side in this case. That's the best place to shoot as a shooter. It's the hardest place for a goalie to save it. And in that case, that's a good shot. But the rest of them, yeah, were pretty savable. They were all pretty safe, except for the one that went off Shen's leg. But, you know, four of those goals were probably savable. That's not good enough. Connor Schwenning saying, Halak, more like send him back. Am I right?
Oh, he got him.
What a bar. Absolute bars. Ken saying, Halak just cost us a game, period. Yes. A nice little game, period. I like that. Yeah, it wasn't great. Justin saying, the losses on Boudreaux, horrible decision to nullify the momentum by starting Halak. There's a couple things at play here. One, it's a back-to-back. The team in front of him didn't play great. And you can say, sure, it's because of the momentum, because Halak was in instead of Demko. And again, I think he leans on Ian Clark for some of these decisions as well. So I don't know. But I'm not happy about the decision, to be completely honest. Although I'm not sure I would have made a different one. Justin Rosenall saying, the only thing Halak can stop is a trade. Nice. Blue Moon saying, you got to play him sometimes. Call up the guy from Abbotsford. Yep, call it Spencer Martin at this point. Chronic saying, seems like you should have thrown Halak to the AHL before that 10-game bonus. They can't. He's got a no-move clause. It's not a no-trade. It's a no-move. They cannot send him to Abbotsford because it's a no-move. He has to stay on the NHL roster if he is healthy. The only alternatives are like conditioning stints, but again, they'd have to be agreed to by the player. But they can scratch him, right? You could just call up Spencer Martin before every game and have him sit on the bench. And then send him down, or at least paper him down to the AHL after. That's totally allowed. Justin saying, the team never has any confidence when Halak is in net, but as a veteran coach, you have to realize the significance of these games, the role the team is on, limited travel, and the 2 days off after. The 2 days off after is what I sort of was pointing at as well. Because that, you know, 2 days off after, and then 2 days off after the two games, right? They play Thursday, Saturday, and then they don't play until Wednesday. So basically two games in the next 7 days. Right. after this. So I thought it would have been a good time as well. But they didn't go that way. Yeah, I think it's on Halak though. Bruce saying the team didn't play well in front of Halak, but he has to make some saves. Fully agree. Boudreau got him his bonus. Now let him sit and bring up Martin and let Halak be on the taxi squad. Yeah, fully agree. I don't think they can put him on the taxi squad again because he got a no move. I don't know exactly how it works with taxi squad, but they can just have three goalies and scratch him. Let's see here. Karcharodon saying another Halak blowout out of position on multiple goals. If you want to make the playoffs, then Demko every night is the way. Yeah, or Spencer Martin. Give us Spencer Martin. Yeah, there was the one on the who was that scored? It was Dawson Mercer. Where the puck went over to Jesper Bratt and he had a shot, he had a chance to shoot it, but I think he either missed the pass. I don't remember it exactly. I've tried to block it out. And Halak was so slow. He like miskicked like the ice, didn't grab it, and then he finally pushed himself over. That could have easily been a goal right before they scored. He was out of it. Also, the Canucks just sent me an email for one-of-a-kind merch. Literally right now, after a 7-2 loss, they sent me an email saying, "Hey, if you sign up for Rogers, you can get merch." Wow. Yeah, let me do that after a game like that. I want to give you all my money. What marketing department? What are you doing? Gus saying it's funny how the Canucks can beat good teams and can't win games when they get close to the playoffs. They can't. They that's historically been the Canucks. They can't beat bad teams. TV fanboy saying, didn't Ian Clark personally request Halak? I think so. And I think we also all said at the start, or before the season started, wow, that's a good choice for a backup. The thing is, everyone falls off with age. Halak was 36 when they signed him. So he seemed like a pretty decent bet that, hey, if he made it to 36, he can make it to 37, right? Because he had been really good the last few years, right? We're talking a 905 last year, a 919 the year before, a 922 a year before that. So sure, a slight decline, although he played way less games. So I think he seemed like a pretty safe bet, and it was worst case. It was 1 year. I just don't think anyone expected him to be as bad as he has been. Right. That's the thing. Kai saying not justifying Halak's play, but it's pretty concerning when your team plays entirely different when Demko isn't in net. I think that's true. And I did say that the other part of it is that, it is a back-to-back. And they played pretty hard last night. Not excusing it, but that does have something to do with it. Again, it's not great though. Gus saying, I think Halak shouldn't be pulled as that game was over, so you should rest Demko. But I guess Bruce is trying to send a message maybe. I was thinking the same thing, and I know JPAT had a very similar thought as well. And I still think that to play devil's advocate, I think... maybe letting that guy in and him allowing 11 goals might not be good for the team at large. That might make the team mad a little bit. But again, I do sort of agree. JC Van Dam saying, can I just package Halak and Chase on to Arizona for future considerations? You don't need to. I mean, Halak Chason is genuinely good depth to have because he's a fine fourth liner. He's just very slow. Their contracts both expire this year. So there's no, you're fine to keep, just hang on to him until the season ends. ALM Music saying, I won't be surprised if Halak gets traded this week. I would be. Are you kidding me? What team is going to go for Halak? Like, let me think of options here. Toronto needs a goalie, but I think they'd rather have Campbell than Halak, even though Campbell's been falling apart. So is Halak. Genuinely, what team would Halak want to go to? Like, what team would want to trade for Halak at this point? I genuinely can't think of one. I don't think there's, because again, I think most teams have better backups than Halak at this point. And I think the Canucks do as well in the AHL. Kai saying, do you find it a bit concerning that this team doesn't really show any emotion in a blowout game? We hear a lot of F-bombs, broken sticks, but you really see any pushbacks or scrums with this roster? Not really. Honestly, it bugs me when teams get blown out and then they get stupid, right? We saw that in the Flames game a bit, right? We saw the Canucks light up the Flames 7-1, and then we saw Goodrow get tripped and get, you know, or get, I guess, kind of clipped with a high stick, something like that, and then he starts cussing out the ref and he gets kicked off, and then we see like hits being thrown with 4 seconds left. It's kind of dumb to do stuff like that. I think if it's a game against a team like New Jersey, where you have no real emotional connection against them, you got beat. You straight up got beat tonight. Take your loss, regroup, forget it ever happened, and go home. Like, that's genuinely my opinion. You can be kind of sore losers and try pushback. And pushback is one thing in a game that's like 3-0 in maybe the third period, where you have a reasonable, like not a reasonable chance, but a glimmer of hope to come back in that game. When a game is 7-1, 7-2, 6-1, whatever the score was at whatever point, that's not a thing, right? Like, you're not coming back. Don't be dumb about it, is sort of my opinion. Just take your loss. You earned it, and go home. BL Tube saying, I wasn't before, but I'm on the Martin train now. Halak looked at the bench at the fifth goal, wanting to be pulled, giving up, and didn't look like he even tried on the sixth goal. He sure didn't look like he tried on the sixth goal. You are right. That was a pretty rough effort, in my honest opinion. Some people saying the Leafs for Halak. I now see that here as well. What else do we got? Kai saying a lot of scouts were at the game tonight too. Anaheim, Boston, Colorado, Dallas, Nashville, Rangers, Ottawa, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, Toronto. Need Trader Jim to work his magic. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. And I am very, very sure of that. JC Van Dam saying, why can't Demko play 70 games? Brodeur did it. Brodeur also played behind an extremely stout defensive system for the New Jersey Devils. The New Jersey Devils were one of the best defensive teams in hockey, and that's before Martin Brodeur is brought into account. Brodeur was fantastic, obviously, one of the best goalies of all time, and it made his life a lot easier because his defensive core was fantastic. The Canucks isn't, right? The Canucks' best defenseman is Quinn Hughes, which is great. Then their next best is like Tyler Myers and OEL. It falls off a cliff real fast, especially the way they played tonight. The thing is, how often have the Canucks faced 34 shots in a game this season? It's a lot. I'm actually curious. How many shots have the Canucks faced on average this season? Shots against per game. That is high to low. The Canucks, 32. Okay, it's not actually as bad as I thought. But still, they're not like an extremely stout defensive team like the Devils were back then. Let's take a few more. Jack saying, I'll say this, they better come out swinging against the Isles. They embarrassed us with 5 in the first, and after this loss and 2-day rest, this game is do or die, is what I think you meant to say. Yeah, they really better. And I think last time they got shelled, which was against I guess they got shelled by the Islanders a few weeks ago. They came up pretty strong against the Leafs. Remember that first 5 minutes of that game, they scored 2 goals basically. That was great. When they got beat bad by Anaheim, they came back and sort of wiped the floor with Seattle, although it is Seattle, the next or 2 nights later. This team has shown some bounce back, right? They genuinely have, right? Earlier, February 1st, they got beat 4-2 by the Predators. They came back, beat the Coyotes 5-1. They seem to answer pretty well to bad games. We'll see if that's the case on Thursday. Let's see here. Sion saying, who was better, Holtby or Halak? Should we have kept Holtby instead of buying him out? Holtby was getting paid 4.3 this year. They couldn't afford him. The Canucks bought him out, and I think they only had to pay like $500K on his salary this year, and then they paid Halak like $1.5 million. So they paid a goalie $2 million this year instead of 4.3. So they would have had to they wouldn't have been able to get Jason Dickinson basically if they had kept Holtby, which hindsight is 2020. That might have been a good move. But at the time the Dickinson move seemed fine. He's just way underperformed. So it's kind of a difficult one. Um, Nicole saying the game isn't over. Wait, you quit 3 minutes before it was over. No, I started the stream about 2 minutes after the game. I think you might have been on a tape delay or something. Agam saying, has anyone been pissed off recently by Garland? He controls the puck a lot, but sometimes refuses to pass and then just turns it over. I don't think Garland is much of a creator. I think he's very skilled with the puck, and I think that's just who he is. And I don't think that has been any different since he joined the team, and I don't think it's been any different lately. So not really. I haven't been bothered by that. I think if we're gonna be angry about anything at this game, I think being angry about Garland's play is kind of silly, because sure, he wasn't a difference maker, but there was difference makers in the wrong direction. And Terry saying, I'm sick and tired of Chiasson not being able to capitalize. I mean, that capitalizing on chances is literally not Chiasson's job, but I mean, I see where you're coming from. But again, I think there were much worse options. Marcus and Gus asking where I'm going. I'm going to Palm Springs for a nice little golf trip, which I will be doing the Maple Leafs post game from, which will be pretty sick. But I will miss a couple. I'll miss the Islanders ones. I'll miss the Habs one next week as well. A little Palm Springs and Disney adventure. Let's see here. I'm going to take a couple more. Agam was mad at Bruce today. Also putting Petey with Chiasson and Mott is not it. Yeah, I didn't agree with that line choice. to be completely honest with you. I think that is pretty fair. RP is saying, you think Halak would have been better if he played more games earlier in the season? Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, he would have played more games early in the season when they were playing as terribly as they did. I don't know if that would have upped his confidence, right? because the Canucks weren't good. Alter saying, same things being said about Halak being said about Holtby last season. To be fair, Holtby wasn't this bad last season. He didn't have a stretch this bad. And also the Canucks aren't very good defensively, right? They're just not. And that is something that that is kind of a thing, you know. Agam saying that Jack Hughes is pretty good. Hey, Jack Hughes is pretty good. He's got the skating gene. That family can skate, and it shows. And if you can skate, hockey's pretty easy. There's a couple more here that some silly things that I don't want to hit. What else do we want to do? Anything else? Fun Q saying that Halak will never play in the NHL again is a bit harsh. Is it though? He's 36. He'll be 37 by the start of next season. He's had his worst season of his career, by quite a bit. I mean, our team's going to be lining up to pick up a 37-year-old backup coming off of a really bad year. I don't think so, right? I wouldn't want him. So, I don't think retiring is that crazy of an idea for a 37-year-old goaltender. Oh, there's way more questions than I thought. There are way more comments than I thought I'd be. Why are there 100 people in here? What are you guys doing? Why are you here? make sure you do come join at Canucks After Dark tonight. You won't find it on YouTube yet because I haven't scheduled it, but it's linked in the description. If you find Canucks After Dark link. Ethan saying, do you think the Canucks will/have a chance to make the playoffs? Do you want them to buy or sell? I think you do nothing until the trade deadline because the picture is probably more clear. Again, they played really well the last few games, just not tonight. Do they have a chance? Absolutely. Coming in tonight, it was a 14% chance as per The Athletic, and I think that's probably pretty fair. Keep in mind, other teams around them have not been doing all that great on their own. LA's already down 1-0 tonight, but I mean, that's not a huge, huge deal. But, you know, we saw Edmonton lose yesterday. We saw Anaheim lose yesterday. Vegas is faltering. There's other teams playing bad too. And the teams that the Canucks need to catch are playing pretty bad at times. So they do have a chance, but they need to go on a run, and they just keep, you know, they're fluctuating a little bit. They had a little bit of a win streak. They just can't go on a losing streak. They gotta just put a few wins together. As for, do I want them to buy or sell? Probably sell. But again, you might as well wait the 3 weeks that you have until the trade deadline before you make those decisions. Ivan saying, not sure if I'm reading this right, but is Halak's contract over at the end of the 21-22 season so the team could buy out his contract? I don't think you can buy out a contract in the middle of the year. And I don't think there's really a point. I don't know how that would even work, because it's because a buyout, especially a 35-plus player, buyouts are full price. You don't get the two-thirds of the salary thing, as far as I remember. I think if you're 35-plus, a buyout is full price over double the length. And if there, I just don't think that works. I don't think that's possible. They could just sit him in the press box, though. That is for sure. Let's see here. Anything else that I want to take? Joel's saying, does Martin have to clear waivers? No, he doesn't. Not to come up, and only would to go down. But I mean, you just wouldn't send him down at this point, right? All right. I think we're going to wrap up there. Thank you guys for joining me, to the 100 of you who are in here. That is quite surprising. Like I said, Canucks After Dark at 10 o'clock, and then I will not be doing a stream after the Islanders game on Thursday. I might do a video, but I have a flight at 6 a.m., so I have to be ready for that. And I have to get a COVID test and all that stuff. So I got a busy day Thursday. I will not be on unless maybe like a 10-minute video or something. But either way, thank you y'all for joining. If you missed any part of it, you can rewind, you can subscribe, you can find the podcast. The Apple and Spotify links are down below. If you guys could go to the Apple link in the description, maybe if you're on an iPhone, and just hit the 5-star button, maybe leave a little review. That would be really cool. It would help me out. But other than that, I am going to go get ready for Canucks After Dark in a couple hours here. Devils 2, or Devils 7, Canucks 2. That's it for me. Have a good night.